Call Cooley on 850-6597.
On Dublin's Q102.
Now, the latest consumer price index has shown that the cost of alcohol and tobacco has risen in the past year. The cost of education also increased significantly in the past 12 months. The changes drove prices across the board up by an average of 0.4% in May when compared to the corresponding month in 2012. The CSO details a fall in the price of furnishings, household equipment and routine household maintenance, as well as a decrease in the cost of clothing, footwear and communications. Pushing the other way, an increase on the price of vegetables and meat was noted, contributing to a rise in the food and non-alcoholic beverages category. And we were asking people earlier today about your favourite treat or luxury, or what do you regard as a treat or luxury item in your shopping basket. You know, would you buy less, so say, a bottle of wine only once a week, whereas before you might have brought it twice? Or would there be a particular luxury brand or luxury scent or something that you might be interested in? Let us know if you want. 57102 for 20 cent, and we'll read some of your views out just a little bit later on. Now, as always, on Monday, all things consumer driven, Dermot Jewell, CEO of the CAI, joins us now. You're very welcome, Dermot. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Nice to be here. Yeah.
Let's start with this survey that you guys are putting in place. What is it all about? It's a telecommunications one, is it?
Yeah. What's happening? I mentioned it there the other week. For one reason, so many of the complaints that come into here to the show, excuse me, and also into this EAI directly, are related to mobile phones. So what we're trying to do is just to get some level of feedback that we can report back both into the regulator, Comreg, and to a number of other interested parties, is probably the best way of putting it. So what we're doing is we're simply going to our website, asking people to come to the website, putting in one of our polls a simple three questions. It's a yay or nay, and a little bit of info if possible at all, just to let us know if they've had a repair, if they had a service problem, and basically whether they're happy or unhappy with the quality that they're getting. So that, as I say, we want to keep it short and sharp, but so that we're able to come back and say, look, we got X amount of people coming on in a relatively short period of time. We're going to open this up for about 3 weeks.
And here are the main things.
The main ones, and let people come back. And it's just so I'm hoping people will come onto the website, which is thecai.ie.
Okay. And when is this survey go live?
We're going to put it up live on Wednesday.
Okay,
this coming Wednesday.
All right. So thecai.ie.
And you'll see it on the front page there. Just
all right. Now, when you've correlated this and put it all together and published it, you go presumably approach all of the companies and say, look, I want you to have a look at this. I want you to see what's happening with your customers.
Absolutely, because it's there's no question that this is a problem that's seriously escalating. I mean, seriously escalating. And I mean, I'll give an example, and I don't mind giving an example, but this is an individual who has had his telephone repaired 4 times.
Wow. In what space of time?
In the space of 3 months.
Oh, good night. Okay.
And he has gone back to he bought us directly, I suppose, the best way of putting it. He's gone back to this provider and said, I want either a replacement phone or my money back. And they've said to him, no, you need to go to the manufacturing company, which is so wrong. It's unbelievable. We've been harking this on for years. Who have you got your contract with? Say the Good Supply Services Act. It's the person to whom you gave your money.
Right.
And this person to whom he gave the money is saying, no, nothing to do with us. And despite having spoken to ourselves in the association, we actually emailed him out a response to give to this person on the other side of the counter, still refusing
abuse of their position. In other words, they're
absolutely
so big and powerful, they can say we can do what we want.
Enough is enough.
And would it help, I suppose? You see, we're not great at complaining in this country, we hear. And we need to improve on that. But would it help if maybe 100 customers got together and said, right, lads, let's all go to the small claims court, take 100 cases against these guys, and maybe then they'll cop on.
Start to gear
it up. And is there no big brother that can come down and say to these guys, look, on the back of this survey, you've got to change this practice or there will be financial repercussions in the term of fines and things? How can they be allowed to conduct their business in a way that is bordering on sharp practice?
It is. I suppose, in fairness, if we get the level of detail that we're hoping to get, and some of the elements, so that we were able to contact these people and say, look, what happened to you?
Yeah.
If we can find breaches of the Sale of Goods Act, then yes, we can, because it'll give us not just once, not just two, but 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 breaches of the Sale of Goods Act. And that, bringing that into the National Consumer Agency, gives them some power to go back to these people and say, look, this is ridiculous. You're flaunting the law. what are you going to do about it to make sure it stops and doesn't happen again?
Okay. Also this evening, if you're working in a fast food outlet, where is the cheapest bag of chips in Dublin? We'd like to know this evening. 57102 for 20 cents. Just give us a text. If you're in an established, tell us what your price is. And we might be able to point some people in your direction. What else have we got? Oh, yeah, this idea now that private health insurance is going to go through the roof of this year.
And standoff,
which is kind of like, but isn't it a bit of a silly situation in the sense that, okay, my insurance is going to go up. I can barely afford it at the moment, so I have to let it go. Now I'm back at the National Health. I'm an extra body there if anything happens to me. So does it naturally follow on that the demand on the public sector side of it is going to be huge and the fees on the other side are going to be higher because there'll be less people as well? Well, this is all down to the charging for hospital beds.
Absolutely it is, and the charges are absolutely outrageous in some of the places, particularly in the private side. And I mean, when I say outrageous, I mean seriously outrageous, where you're paying, you know, nearly a grand for just sitting beside a bed for half a day in a day ward. It's just outrageous, so it's got to stop. But as I say, there's no question there's an element of a standoff here, and regardless of what people may think, I mean, in fairness, there the other day I heard the Minister for Health saying, look, it's not as if they haven't had enough increases in the last number of months and the last number of years, and it's true, it's just gone beyond what's reasonable, so we need to get this sorted out. But
would you be confident or hopeful?
No, because it's too easy to say we need to get it sorted out. Absolutely sod all has happened in the past couple of years, and it's really worrying because as you point out, there are quite a number of people, elderly, who have been paying for this because they've been trying to protect themselves in their older age, and they just are falling out of it. They can't afford it, not possible. And with this kind of, you know, well, we'll have to increase by 30%, that needs to be explained to the cent as to what necessitates it. But the worrying part of it is, as kind of aligned to the next question, who's going to take it up and say to them, no, you don't, stop? Nobody.
Yeah,
very frustrating.
It's kind of very frustrating, and again, like it leads to vast upset as well, because you know people are naturally worried, worried about their jobs, worried about their future, and you know this additional cost that comes on, you know, your health is your wealth, as they say. Hi. All right, let's go to the phones. I think we can do that now. Hi, Anne. We've Anne here. Hi, Anne.
Hello. How are you doing?
Not bad. What is your problem? You want to talk to Dermot about?
Hi, Anne.
Yeah. Hello, Dermot. How are you?
Good, thank
you. It's a conservatory that I got built, and now I know I have it's up about 6 years. But prior to the guarantee, he gave a 5-year guarantee, and prior to the guarantee expiring, 10 of the top windows, the seals went on them, and they're all condensation on them. Now I got back onto him, and I worn out trying to get him, but I finally got some commitment from him, and what he's saying is that the company that he dealt with is gone out of liquidation, is gone into liquidation, so he can't be out of pocket, so he's expecting me to pay for the windows, but he said he wouldn't charge me for his time.
Okay.
Is that what I have to accept, is what I basically want to know.
Well, you have a guarantee, and if it is the case that the company that would be liable to provide what the guarantee insists upon is gone out of business, then okay, I acknowledge there's a difficulty, but I'm not trying to be mistrustful. It's just years have taught me to ask the question. Are we all certain that this company has gone out of business?
Well, I just took his word, to be honest with you, Dermot. I didn't make it.
He said
the company that supplied the material to him are gone into liquidation, so therefore he has no backup there, and he can't be out of pocket, and he will have to, he said he would have to go to another company. He'd supply the top windows. It's going to cost me in the region of €500 to replace each and every one, you know, to replace them at €50, I think it's, or 45 or €50, and he said he wouldn't charge me for his
labour.
Under those circumstances as outlined, that's reasonable, because these are difficult times, and more than understand that businesses can literally go out of business. But I would just simply do a quick check to ensure that that is the case, and you, whether the name of the company is Googled. But if the manufacturing company, now not the company that sold the Windows onto to your installer, but if the company that manufactured those Windows is gone out of business, then fair enough. But I just want to personally check that that right. is the case, because it's the manufacturer. And I believe me, I really do believe, because there's nothing to be lost by your contractor saying, look, it's all I have to do is ask them under the guarantee to replace them, not a problem. So they must be gone out of business. But once it's a reasonable fee, because it's not your fault they've gone out of business, it is a problem if in a short, relatively short 5-year time, the seals are gone. So once it's a reasonably fair price and you're happy with it and it's affordable to you, yes.
The only thing is, though, Dermot, when I contacted him, I was still under guarantee, and there was no mention about this company gone out of business at that stage.
I
must have been taking me 2 to 3 years actually to get him to commit to. He didn't even come down and look at it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's only now he said yes, he did, but he called at a time when I wasn't here. So I don't know whether he did come or not.
So I suppose if you check the original company, what do you do then, Dermot? Do you write to them? Do you ring them?
I thought my absolutely. Contract was with him. And
yeah,
that he,
it
as,
is,
as
yes.
such that I would, the onus was, you know, that I could follow him.
And that's exactly the way it should be. But he's introduced, if you like, a stumbling block by saying, look, absolutely, I stand over the guarantee, that's fine, but the parts are not available because the company's gone. Well, sorry, the guarantee coming from the company who manufactures these Windows is not able to stand up because the company has gone into liquidation.
Yes.
Now, that's fine, that's great. But that's why I make the point. Normally, it would be that company that would say to him, well, fine, yeah, they're the parts, you go and fit them under the terms of the guarantee. And I'm starting to wonder if perhaps he left it too late, that the company said, look, no, you're falling out of the guarantee. We're not providing the repair elements of it. You're going to have to come to some arrangement. So he is coming to some arrangement where he's getting them from a third party for free. That's fair enough. Normally, under the guarantee, the labour would never have arisen. But that's why I say to you, unusual circumstances, let's, you know, we're trusting that this is the case, and provided it's a fair price, that's okay, because it shouldn't be at any cost to you under the terms of the guarantee.
Yeah, well, he quoted 45. I got a quote from someone else and they said 50. This is another guy, you know,
okay,
independent
well,
altogether. He's saying 50. So, and that would be, naturally, he would be building in labour, I'm sure, to that. So I don't think the other fellow's given me that great of a deal at €45 and saying he's not charging me.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from.
I mean, he's 10 windows, €50. I'm sure he's looking for, you know, his labour is more intensive than €50.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Now, is this per window or all inclusive?
Sorry, Dermot,
Is this a charge per window?
Yeah.
So you're looking at €500.
Yeah, €45 per window, which for 10 windows, yeah. €450 is what I would have to pay out now.
Because of that, and because you complained within the guarantee period, I must be honest now, Anne, and I hate to labour on this, I would just want proof that that company has gone out of business.
So ask them to furnish that first.
Ask them to just provide that. And as I say, you can go online yourself or get someone else to go online, Google the name of the manufacturing company and see if they're there.
Unfortunately, I don't have that information. I'm just relying on his honesty. You know?
I see. So it's okay. Okay.
So I can ask him for proof that they've gone into liquidation.
Yeah. Tell him you were on Dublin's Q102 as well and you're talking to Dermot Jewell, and come back and let us know how he responded to you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it took him 3 years to respond to me previously. Well,
hopefully he's a bit faster this time.
Mm-hmm. And I know it's difficult for you, but considering you got a quotation from a total stranger who owes you nothing for €500, I would suggest that you try to negotiate that price of his down, because it really should be less.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Very
Anne.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much for that. Thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Evening to you. Let's do this. We've got Gerard, who has been on before. He had a problem with his mobile phone contract. We'll hear from Gerard in just a moment. This is Dublin's Q102.
Call Cooley on 850-6597. On Dublin's Q102.
All right, we are back. And as I was saying to you, we were going to talk to Gerard. Just before we do, though, that topic of that lady not knowing if the trades company she hired were telling her the truth or not. If you need to find information about somebody who's coming into your home to do a job, be it windows, be it electrics, be it plumbing, and they say to you they have the credentials but they can't show you them, can you check with a body like Revenue? Will they give out that information? Or is there anywhere you can check to see, has this guy got what he says he has? The certificates, the tax status, and also the insurance in case anything goes wrong in my house.
I suppose the quick answer to this is, on the Revenue side, no, no. I mean, you can do a company's check on anybody,
right,
who runs a registered company.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you're relying on... that. Always the rule is, if somebody's coming to work in your house, you ask them for a number of things. One, you ask to see their insurance, and two, you ask to be sure to see whatever level of documentation they have in relation to, do you have a brochure, do you have headed paper, all of that.
Do you have an office,
stuff,
yeah.
Just to find out something. But usually it comes in the form of, the insurance is the one that benefits. But what very, very few people ask to see the insurance.
Right, yeah.
There's an embarrassment factor in the Irish consumer that they just don't.
I'm getting off on a bad foot here now. He won't do the best job because he thinks
I don't trust him. And the other side, and also the other thing we always say to people is, look, if you don't want to ask for that, that's fine. Ask him, where were his last two jobs?
Can you go and see them?
Can you go see them? Yeah. Or would you mind if you rang the person?
Fair enough.
Now, really good guys and girls don't care. They go, yeah, there's the number. Just let me ring and tell her that you're calling down, or I can drive you over and you can see it.
Very good.
That kind of thing. And most don't mind, is great. Now, I know there might be a lot of tradespeople out there going, hang on a minute, what's he saying? For God's sake, we've got to drive customers around. No, I'm not saying that. It's just that either photographs or a reference or anything. I mean, none of us can get a job without a reference. So it all helps, that kind of stuff. But the simplest thing to do, always, particularly and that's why it was Anne's case that made me kind of think more and more and more. Always get an invoice. Always get the brochure to do with whatever it is if it's windows that have been fitted, then they come with a guarantee. It's a document and you can be given it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Who made this? Where was it made? That's okay.
Exactly.
And away you go. So most of the simple things are overlooked, and it's annoying. And it's very frustrating now for Anne that she's as she said herself, which is surprising, took her years to get this attention.
Yeah.
Now she's finally got it. And yet she's got a price.
She's got
under
a
guarantee, she's given a price and an excuse. And I'm sorry to whoever this individual is. I don't mean to be making a mockery of your business, but it doesn't hang right. It just doesn't sound right. It's too unfortunate.
Anne sounds like a very nice lady.
She's
a little bit cynical about her as well. You can't blame her.
450 quid is a lot of money when you've reported something under a guarantee that should be free.
It's not your fault either.
A bit worried here. You know?
All right, we'll let that one hang and we'll see when Anne comes back to us how she gets on. Jared was on before. Jared, you were on before about a mobile phone contract.
I was, yeah. Good evening, guys.
How are you doing?
Thanks.
I was on to this data a while back regarding a mobile phone contract, and it told me to give one more call back or email to the company about the trouble I've had with them. Now, since then, I've contacted them back, and they still haven't got back to me about it. So, I received a letter the other day to say that I had a debt collection company onto me looking for $2,500 back over the mobile phone contract. So, he's asked me to give you the call back. So,
I just basically give you the
call back to know where I stand out from now.
Okay, so do you have, just so that I refresh the memory, Jared, you have documentation going back and forth between yourself and them, don't you?
I have emails I took down, I've written down each time of contacting them back, I've written down each time I sent out a letter to them, and every time I sent back out, I haven't received one letter back or one phone call back about the trouble I had.
Yeah.
Now, I sent one more email back at them, and they did actually send an email back to say that the way it is, that more or less they said to me that I have to continue on with the contract, and they want €2,500 back off me. Now, the debt collection agency sent me a letter to say that they're willing to come to an exception that I pay them back so much each month or each week. But I really don't feel that's fair that I have to pay them back so much money.
Hmm.
You know, each week, because I just don't think that's fair after the whole lot of trouble I've had with them. You know,
absolutely. You did everything possible to try to resolve this.
I'm absolutely exhausted. I'm just so worn out now, like with emails and letters and everything.
Where has this gone, Dermot? If the company continues the legal process, and Jared obviously is trying to appeal to them to have a look and see if we can get a better deal.
Yeah.
But how does he protect himself now at this point? Because we're at a situation, I think, where the next step is crucial, because they're
hugely
now down the legal route.
Yeah. You need to do two things specifically, Jared. The first thing you need to do is literally write a letter making the point that you have never ever refused to attempt to resolve this problem, and that you have it, and you've tried on numerous occasions to do so, and that you have never refused to make a payment, you have queried a payment.
Okay.
And that therefore, under those terms, and you can copy this to the debt collection company, that under those terms, what you're now going to do, you've been left with no choice, but you now must refer the matter. Just to clarify this, you brought this matter to the attention of the regulator, didn't you? Or did you?
I did. I brought it to Comreg twice, actually, and Comreg they agreed with the side of the company that they had recession in the area. But the thing is, I've been onto blogs online, and I've copied and pasted a couple of a big folder I have built up on the internet of the same company that, even though that they've had signal in the area, that call can't actually be made, you know.
Be connected. What I suggest you do is now that's a difficult one where you've got that problem coming back. So what you're better off to do is to write back to the company, tell them you've never refused to make a payment, but you've simply queried the fact that you have never, hand on heart, been able to get the signal that they claim you could, and that what you need for them to do is to prove to you, by return, that the signal did exist on your phone, and to show the records of your phone being able to receive and make those calls, and that under those terms you would be only too glad to make amends and agree to what they claim. But in the absence of it, you're not refusing to pay, you simply want the proof, and when that comes forward, all will be well. I would secondly suggest to you that once you do that, send it to them and tell them that you want the matter resolved in within the period of time that the debt collection company have given to you, because you want that ceased so until they come up with that proof or otherwise.
All right, there's the route forward. That's probably the mechanism to use there. Come back and let us know how you got on with that. Jared, need to take a break. Back in a moment. 57102 for 20 cent is our text line number here at Dublin's Q102.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597 or text 57102 for 20 cent. Dublin's Q102.
Just before we talk to Dave, here's Trevor and his problem. From about 10 o'clock in the morning, my broadband and television was down. This was particularly annoying as I tend to work from home. I left to go into the office at 2:30 and there was still no internet coverage or television. In this case, could or even should the provider give me some money back or at least some sort of credit? Not, I lost several hours work and as a result, I lost income. It's a tricky one, that, isn't it?
It's always a tricky one.
Is that terms and conditions, is it?
Well, it is and it isn't. A lot of the time, if you get in touch with them, they'll do something.
Will they? Okay.
They'll try to. It's just that it can be very small.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's not some value to this. It's big to Trevor, who couldn't get his work done. That's a big deal. But what I mean is, when it comes to compensation, you won't get it. When it comes to some element of your rental back, there's a good chance that they'll give you it, but it'll probably be €2.
Oh,
do
right,
you know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, so
that's a,
is that insult
you got to make
then
the call, you got to take the time. It's so frustrating by times. But I suppose, in fairness, I would make the point, Trevor, that absolutely, if this is if there was a likelihood of this happening again,
I'm off.
Then it's time to start to say to them, hang on a minute, guys, this is just not right. What happened? What's to stop it happening again?
And if it happens again, most customers are under contract. What happens then? If you, have they broken the contract? Can you then say, right, lads, I'm off because you're not providing me with a reliable service and I need this service?
Well, it probably, again, you can go back and say, look, this has happened once, bad enough. Twice, I'm not one bit impressed. I'm putting you on notice.
Right.
This contract is going to cease if it goes into times three, because it's,
and you can
no
do that
to
them.
Me. Well, you should be able to, because again, there will always be an outage of under fair terms. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Yeah.
Could be things completely beyond their control.
Right.
But that's why once, maybe twice, you can understand. But if it goes into three, then you have every right to say, "Hang on a minute,
okay,
something not right
and
here."
That's
and
something
it's no good to me.
You need to keep a strict record of the
very
dates, the letters,
so.
Went,
the
copies,
date,
the letters,
the time,
of emails.
And all
registered in letters, if need be.
Oh yeah, most certainly. Although in today's world, an email will
do just as well.
Is fine, because it's deemed to be delivered.
All right, let's get on to Dave. He's been there. Hi, Dave. Sorry for holding you up. How are you?
No problem, mate. How's it going?
Good, good. Tell us how you got on.
Well, the last time my wife was talking to you, Dermot told us to send a registered letter.
Yes.
To the TV provider. Now, we sent the letter and we never heard anything back.
Arrogance. It's incredibly arrogant to some companies, isn't it?
It was, we actually found, we checked it up on the internet and the letter was received and signed for by the company. Now, I made a phone call the following week to find out what happened with the letter, and I was told that they didn't know anything about it. I then rang a following week back again, and somebody said that they had received the letter, but the girl I was dealing with in cancellations hadn't seen it. And she didn't know what the letter was involved about. So I basically said that we want all the equipment gone out of the house as soon as possible.
Yeah, oh, we'll put it in the front garden. That'll be my problem. I suppose you can't do that, but that'll be my thing.
And
more or less, then they sent two people from UPC out to the house without letting us know. The two, myself and my wife, were in work, and they rang my wife's phone to say that there was two people outside the house.
Oh, my God.
And my wife said there was nobody at home. Nobody had let us know that they were coming.
Yeah.
So that was, it was just seemed to be one thing after another. So we eventually rang up and said, right, that's it. We want to cancel it altogether.
Yeah.
And set up with somebody else. And I arranged for them to come out last Thursday, I think it was, to collect all the equipment and take all the wiring from the house. And I got a phone call on the Thursday morning from somebody from UPC to say that they couldn't make it in time. I was in work at 11 o'clock and they couldn't make it there for 11 o'clock, so I just put the stuff in a black bag outside the front of the house and they'd collect it whenever they could.
Gee.
Wow.
So that was more or less where we were left. That I don't actually know if somebody collected it from the provider or if
somebody else
somebody
just
else
took it. Yeah.
Picked it up, yeah.
So where does that leave us?
The arrogance is unreal.
Isn't that just...
Oh,
basically what is left now, we've actually received a bill for €53. Originally, when we set up the provider, we were told that we could pay by direct debit. Now, for I think it was close to 3 months we had the service, we never received any direct debit mandate.
Yeah.
This is one of the problems at the start we had. But we still today hadn't received a direct debit mandate. But yet again, we're after receiving a bill for €53 there a couple of weeks ago. And €3 was for, because we're not paying by direct debit.
Absolutely, yes.
But the €50 is more or less for closely, nearly the month gone that I wanted to cancel it, more or less.
Gotcha.
So we just want to know, where do we stand now, or...
Well, just to get this right, the equipment has been taken back.
They haven't acknowledged to us that they have actually got their equipment. Like, anybody could have taken it.
Yes. But they have sent you a closing bill, which indicates that they have got their stuff back.
Well, this bill would have came in before the equipment was actually taken back.
Well, I wouldn't be too worried about the equipment. If they told you that they were going to, you leave it outside the house, that's what you did. It's their concern after that.
Oh, like
on the same day that we rather that I got that phone call later on in that morning. My wife received a phone call from somebody from the provider, trying to organise a time and a date to collect the equipment.
It just doesn't seem to
be any communication within the company at all. Like.
One hand doesn't know what the other's doing. So what's the liability, Dermot, do you think, on the €53 now? What do we do with that? That's, we want to get rid of that now and then move on, don't we?
Yeah, we do, absolutely. The only difficulty is that where do you go to try to resolve this? You go back to, well, it's been mentioned a number of, you go back to UPC and say to them, look, the whole point of all of this was, I'll be honest with you, What I think this is really, really, really poor, and unfortunately, it's gone to a level that's quite significant. I think it's important that we make some attempt to hear from UPC on this.
Okay, we'll give them a call tomorrow.
And I think we should try and give them a call, Dave, and see what we get back from them.
All right.
No, they did offer a deal of €33 instead of the €50. They did offer a deal of €33.
Right.
And when I rang up the following day to actually take that offer up, I was actually going to take that offer up. The girl that I was originally talking to couldn't actually come to the phone, although she was in the office. They said she was busy and she couldn't come to the phone, so you'd have to deal with somebody else. And I had to explain then the whole...
You're back to square one, yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay. So there's been no contact from them or by you since then?
No, since I got the phone call to collect the equipment, no, there's been nothing else.
All right, so if we try and intercede tomorrow on your behalf through our office here, is that €33 offer, would you still accept that and you would pay that?
Well, no, we've actually gone to another provider now, so
All right.
Okay, but you want this
the bill waived.
€50 waived?
Yes.
More or less, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, look, Venetia has details there. She's going to take a few more details from you, and we'll get cracking on that for you tomorrow, and we'll talk to you in a week or two.
Okay, that's
all right.
Great.
Thanks very much.
Cheers,
thank
Dave.
You.
Cheers,
bye,
cheers.
Bye. All right.
That's Dave there and his issue.
That really broke down between those two.
Didn't it? Yeah. It's sad when it does as well.
That's a shame.
It sounds
like
it's just people just going around frustrated and stressed and bored. Not bored, just angered. Here's an interesting one. Again, this is about you walk in a situation if you're not happy.
Mm.
Craig said he was waiting for friends in town last week, so he had a drink in the Temple Bar area. I won't name the pub. He ordered a Guinness and a glass of wine. The Guinness was €6.65. And a small glass of wine poured from a bottle was €7.20. Scandalous.
Wow.
He said he's never seen anything like it now. But then he points out the place was packed.
Jammed.
So look, in a situation like that, you go into a place, if you're worried about the price, ask them what it costs and then say, no thanks, I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah.
The trick is, though, I think a lot of the bars around there have similar prices.
They do.
Yeah.
This has come up before. And again, to put the balance into it, every single pub in this country has to have their price displayed just as you enter the door, in the doorway of the pub, and it is there. Now, that said, I appreciate that everybody reads the price list and doesn't expect those kind of prices.
Yeah.
Welcome to Temple Bar in Dublin.
Oh, good night.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so there you are, and if you're going into any of the bars in Temple Bar, check out the price list when you go in, and if you're unhappy, turn around and walk out, because that's how you vote, or that's how you exercise your franchise, because there's no point in complaining afterwards, because you've bought it, you drink it, and then you realise you've been mugged, and you leave with the old donkey's ears, he always gets me caught like that.
What most tourists think.
Okay, yeah, well, exactly. We've Jim and Consilla, who had a problem. He has a question, rather than, I think, about a bet he's made. But I need to do this first, and we'll hear from Jim in a moment.
Call Cooney. Have your say. Call 850-6597. Dublin's Q102.
Craig, who texted in about the bar in town, he said he left that and he went to the Grafton Lounge, and the Guinness glass of wine was offered €3.50 less. That is some difference, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, massive.
So there you go. And he did that, obviously, the right thing. He voted with his feet. He thought, I'm not paying this again. Let's get out of here.
He had a drink after that shot.
Yeah. Jim is here now. Hiya, Jim.
How you doing, Aidan? How you doing, Dermot?
Good. Jim.
Did you make the bet, or...?
Yeah, it's just a query I have, okay?
Go on, yeah.
Because I did talk to the company afterwards, but I'm still in a bit of the dark of what happened. I backed the guy each way in the US Open and advertised before the tournament started was that they pay for the first six places.
Yeah.
My guy finished tied for fourth. And the odds were 60-1, so each way a quarter of the odds of that is 15-1, but I didn't get 15-1 because he said another guy, there was four in the tie.
Yeah, and there was two ties for
everyone
seconds.
He still has tied for fourth. It doesn't have tied sixth or tied seventh or...
That's a tricky one, isn't it?
It sure is.
And I'd say it's down to the terms and conditions as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I did. No, I know from, because like, I backed the golf a little bit, but
yeah.
It's not advertised properly in the shop. It's advertised, they think that you're getting the best offer because they're paying six places. That's about it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I presume there's probably, if you ask for it, they probably give you terms and conditions. But my other query regarding the same thing is, Phil Mickelson finished joint second.
That's right, yeah.
Jason Day. He was within the top six. But they said to me, because there was a tie there as well, they would have called that a... They wouldn't have paid the proper odds on that either, because that was a tie, even though they both finished in the top six. So I didn't... They couldn't really explain to me. I found it just hard to understand. I'm just wondering, would you be able to help me out on it?
Well, so I'd say something we'd have to look into. I know where it's coming from, because they're saying to you, hang on a sec, just say for argument's sake, you backed Phil Mickelson and your friend backed Jason Day. Well, they both were not given the two of them second place at second and third, or else they will bring the odds down so there's an equal split.
I would understand between if it was the first. I understand if it was a tie for first. That would be different, obviously. Yeah. But also, the other thing is, what happens if they pay for, if you're in a tie for sixth, and there's three or four on that?
Well, that's what happens.
You would
here.
Understand then that they might do it with a reduction of a quarter or an eighth or a 16th to it.
Because I know what you mean. If you look at Ernie Els, Hunter Mahan, Jason Duffner, and Billy Horschel, they all tied for fourth. But Billy Horschel would actually.
Jason Duffner.
Okay, so technically there's seven golfers then inside the top four.
Yeah.
It's probably the argument they're going to make.
Even though it has tied for fourth.
Yeah, absolutely. Officially, that's what it says. I suppose it's something it's in their terms and conditions, I'm sure. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll talk a little bit off air about this. We'll find out who it is, and we'll give them a bell for you. How about that?
Yeah, because I was trying to ask somebody earlier, and I was being put to Biddy to Jack or whatever.
Yeah, and
nobody could give me a definitive. They said that what happened was that I got three quarters of the stake.
Yeah.
At the full odds.
Right, okay.
Now, I said, if I got three quarters of the stake at the full odds, that wouldn't have added up to what I got.
Yeah, they'd have been very happy. They got a lot more.
Take a quarter of the odds off that as well.
Right. Okay, well, look, bear with us there. We're going to put you back to V, Jim, and we're going to ring the company question tomorrow, talk to one of their spokesperson, and we'll get exactly what's gone down there for you, all right?
And I asked them as well, too, that they maybe might be able to sort it out by advertising it better than in
good point.
In shops.
Not a bad idea, good point.
And we'll talk to them about that as well, too.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim. Stay in the line there. We've got Finish to get some details from Jim, and we'll ring whatever bookmakers that is tomorrow. Give him a chance. Maybe their spokesperson will come on, because they're all pretty okay and stuff like that, aren't they? Which is good. Yeah, and it's also, I suppose, it's important if you are backing, always check around for the value, because even things like the Grand National, some pay the first five and others only pay the first four.
That's right.
So you could find yourself in a situation, and it might only be a small bet, usually is, but you're 25 or 30 euro, you're not getting it, and if you had it back in the competitor shop, you would get it, which would certainly make you back there in future. We were talking about, we were just asking punters and people in general if they wanted to text in with where you would get the best value, not necessarily the best price, the best value bag of chips. And we've had all of the named chippers in Dublin, all the big players are in there from our listeners, everywhere from obviously the Burdocks to Macari's in Balmain, which is doing a bomb, the Cafe Kyra in Howth, or Bishops gets a mention. Is it Ezio's? Their neighbours down in Amiens Street, not a million miles away from us. Anyway, they're all there on our Facebook page, the Q102.ie page. Go and have a look at it. And you can see some people's... someone says the best place and the best value chips are at home with my mum if you get in at dinner time.
There it is.
And somebody else suggests that the best value chips that they've ever had were a bag of frozen steak cut chips for just 69 cent from Lidl.
Wow.
So isn't that great? Now, we've a bit of homework to do today and tomorrow. We'll get cracking on that. Dermot, it's been great having you in. We'll talk again next week.
See you next week.
And don't forget, your survey will open on Wednesday on the cai.ie, and you'll have three questions up. If you've had an issue or a problem with a mobile phone,
let us know.
And there's 5 million of you out there using mobile phones from what we're hearing, or there are 5 million phones in use or something like that. And you'll correlate the results, and you'll present them, the findings, to the major players in the market.
We sure will.